So, thank you for introducing me and thank you for having me, because it is very big honor for me to be here. Chosen People Ministries is a marvelous mission. I never in the wildest dreams I ever thought that I would be a missionary, because as you heard, I was born in a very professional family. My mother was a teacher of English. She always wanted me to teach English. Okay, and now I don't hear myself. So she, I finished university, started working as a teacher, married my husband, a pilot. It's a very separate, very funny story, because we met on Monday, he proposed on Wednesday, and people call him man of action. And we lived happily ever after, but you know that's not the end of the story, because that's just the beginning. So we lived very, very happily. We lived in that country which Jewish had difficulty pronouncing, and you don't have to learn, it's Kazakhstan. If you ever prayed for 640 or 1040 window, ever, it's the most northern, yes, thank you, most northern of all the stands. There are 16 stands in the world, and Kazakhstan is kind of a Silk Road, you heard about that. The way, not only the silk trades, but all the missionaries go to that part of the world, which is closed. So, in 1991, the USSR collapsed. And by the way, not a single shot, not a single blood of was dropped. Can you imagine that? Amazing. So it's a side thought. And the doors of the former USSR countries were open wide to all kinds of missionaries. We think about Christians. Oh, Christians went. No, not only Christians went. Muslims went in flocks and all kinds of false religions too. But I was blessed because I was found by Christians. And I worked as an interpreter on a cultural exchange, and this cultural exchange was organized by Southern Baptist Convention. You know, I call them Southern Baptist because it was a sudden thing in Kazakhstan when a whole airplane of Baptists came to the capital of the country. And there were 300 people who gave promise before God and the church that they would witness three times a day for 10 days. Do the math. 9,000 testimonies were said in 10 days. The evangelism explosion was unbelievable. Practically all the schools who had teachers like myself, teachers of English, lost all the teachers. Because teachers went to seminaries, teachers went to whatever, missions. But it was a very big, big wave of openness. And many, many thousands of people accepted the Lord. Hundreds of churches were planted. We were one, as Jewish mentioned, we were one of those church planters. My husband was flying at that time, the largest passenger airplane in the world at that time, for 400 passengers, jumbo jet. And I was all busy with this 10 days of, 10 days of interpreting. And he was asking me, like, what are you doing there? What are you doing? I said, it's because, you know, when you are an interpreter for a group, you get up at 6, by 7 o'clock you're in the hotel, and by the time you go to bed, you are allowed to stop interpreting and go home. So it's just a very difficult job. At the same time, I was able to meet amazing people. So my husband said, what are you reading there? I said, you know what, I'm reading English-Russian Bible because I don't have enough words to be able to translate quickly. So he said, can you give me one? And I gave him one, and he flew away because it was summertime, and he was busy, busy, busy flying. And it was interesting that the group for which I was interpreting was participating in the discussion of the law of religious freedoms. And we were doing very serious job, and there were representatives of many religions from all the neighboring countries, including Iran, Tajikistan, Afghanistan, you know, all those stands, which didn't want Kazakhstan to turn into a Christian country. It was such a battle, the spiritual battle was huge. And I was doing this interpretation sitting behind a group of people, and then the door squeaked. You know, they say that brain-wise, interpretation simultaneously is an impossible work. It's only by the grace of God. You hear things which you shouldn't hear, and then there was a squeak of the door, like, and I look back, and there's a woman, a Kazakh woman, a Muslim woman, showing me like this. And I felt like, okay, we were three interpreters that take over. So I tiptoed out. And she says to me, I need your help. I felt like, wow, something is happening. I said, what can I do for you? And she says, I need to know the difference between Islam and Christianity. She couldn't have chosen a worse person. I grew up without knowing God. Ever, never, ever went to church. We didn't have the Bible. My parents were just last generation of the parents, or had grandparents who were communists. It was just like, and I felt like, oh, I should say very funny and say goodbye, but she had this expression on her face. She really needed to know. And I said to her, listen, there are some people from America who know. If you want to, well, let's choose one. We'll stay after these talks. He will explain, I will interpret, and you will know the difference. And I will learn something new too. How about that? She says, okay. And she looked in the door and said, that one, the oldest one. You know, a young Muslim woman who wants to be safe. I will speak to the oldest one. So we chose the oldest one. He was Bill Smith from Louisiana. He said, my English is the example how not to speak English. But he was a good pastor. He had this old worn Bible under his arm, very old-fashioned glasses and well, old suit. And when we sat in the corner of that auditorium, I was just like, the interpreter, the bridge. When he was singing, the bridge, now the bridge, so it was the bridge. And they were perfectly fine with what they were talking about. He asked about whether she was a Muslim. She said, yes. Are you a sinner? She said, yes. Are you trying to please your God, doing things to earn your way to heaven? Yes. Are you still a sinner? Yes. Nothing can be done, he said. And she said, what do you mean? And he said, because everything is already done. And he told her about Jesus. Asked her name, and she said, my name is Gulsim, and Gulsim means a beautiful flower. She was a beautiful flower, about 23 years of age. With gorgeous black hair, with gorgeous fashionable glasses, with some diamond rings in her fingers. And he was just a plain, very simple, old-fashioned pastor who really knew the truth. Once he shared the gospel with her, he said, would you like to accept Jesus as your savior? She said, yes, yes. And I was standing there thinking like, what are they talking about? I'm translating, I have no clue what's going on. And he said, okay, you have to pray to God in the name of Jesus and he will forgive her. Forgive you. I said, I don't know how to pray in the name of Jesus. And then Bill Smith said, no wonder, no problem. I will pray and I will interpret. He remembered about me. And you will repeat, God knows who prays. And I had this ding feeling in my heart, like, I'm really missing out on something. But I had no time to speak for myself. You know, when an interpreter interprets, no speaking for yourself. So they sat down, they closed their eyes, and they started praying, Father God, I know that I cannot earn my salvation. I cannot do enough good things to make your way to heaven because I'm still a sinner and I know that Jesus died on the cross. I got it. And they continued praying and I was interpreting. And I thought like, that's so interesting and so serious because I saw four tears rolling down four cheeks at the same time. That was a very interesting moment. Never seen anything before, never seen anything after like that. And I said, God, I want it too, in the back of my mind, because my mouth was busy. And you know what? He said, he who comes to me will not be cast out, or I will never turn away a person who comes to me. I was accepted. And that evening when my husband came from his flight, I ran to the door to meet him. I looked at him and said, oh, you're dead. He said, what? I said, no. I looked at him again and said, you're lost. He said, are you sick? So, the story goes, after that, I started crying. Because by that time, we had lived together 15 years, a happy marriage. Not a single shed, a drop of tear. And all of a sudden, I couldn't stop crying. Because I knew he's flying. he's in danger. If he crashes the plane, he goes to hell forever, and I need to do something about it. But God closed my mouth. I couldn't speak. A miracle. So one day, and it was Saturday, he came from his flight and said, God heard your prayers. I said, what do you mean? Where do you go to? What do you call it? I'll go with you. It was a church. And I'll do what you want. After 21 days of solid crying, we went to church together. And we came, and it was a huge church, 1,500 people, and it was always packed full because evangelism was growing and flourishing, and everybody was bringing and bringing and bringing more and more friends. So I brought my husband, and he was sitting and sitting and sitting and not doing anything, because people would come into the front, kneel down and pray, and everything stops. If the choir of 50 people sings, like, and the sound stops, and everybody listens to prayer, then everybody stands up, praises God, and prays for this person. It's a beautiful procedure, but my husband didn't do it. At the end of the service, one of the pastors came to the front and said, if there was a soul which was afraid to come to the front, please come to my pastor's room. I will wait for you there. Maybe somebody wanted to accept Jesus. Oh, suddenly my husband of 6'5" walks with big, big steps, and I'm just running behind him, trying to catch up, because he was really moved. And he came, dropped on his knees, accepted the Lord, and they lived happily ever after. No. No, because 3 days later, when he came from his flight, he says, God is speaking to me. I said, what did he say? He told me to leave my job and go into full-time ministry. I said, what did he say? Are you sure it's from God? I said, yes, I'm sure it's from God. And I thought, like, how are we going to put bread on the table? We have 2 children. We have bills to pay. So all of a sudden, my thoughts began to go in a different direction. He continued reading the book, the Bible, which I gave him. And in 6 months, he quit his job. And they lived happily ever after. Planted a church, started a charity ministry, and then God started speaking to my husband to come to Canada. I said, no, this cannot be. Absolutely not. Go listen to God. He's calling you to Afghanistan, Ethiopia, or Egypt. He cannot call you to Canada. What are you thinking about yourself? And then 3 months later, he said, it's absolutely true. It's Canada. I said, okay, I have conditions. No bribes, no fairy tales or stories that we're here persecuted, which he was called to KGB. We could have made a big story, but we didn't. And I don't want to pay any lawyers. I don't want anything. Like, if God wants us, he wants us. That summer we were in Moscow because there was a postgraduate Dallas Seminary branch of branch of Dallas Seminary course in Moscow, and I was interpreting there. So going to the Canadian embassy cost us one ride on the subway. So we came there, applied, and our immigration was approved in 3 hours. And that was a shock for me. We came here. Nobody waited for us. We had to really break through, pray through our way through the darkness which we were surrounded with. It's a separate and very interesting story, because God was breaking and breaking and breaking us. And then he put us into Jewish ministries. And here we are. I never thought that I would stand at the pulpit speaking. Seriously, my husband is doing it much better, but his health really was ruined by attacks of the evil one. And one day I hope you will meet him. And today you asked to speak about the roots of anti-Semitism. And it's a very, very interesting topic. Let me enter my computer, which is always... No, it's cooperating. Good. At least. And the mission has been around for 127 years, can you believe? And in one church, they asked me, so did you found this? Are you the founding? I said, do I look... and so that was interesting. A founding missionary. So we, as missionaries of chosen people, we have seen ups and downs, underground work, revivals, anything. At this time, we're in 22 countries of the world. The one which is opening this month is Brazil. And we really need prayer, because if you look at around the world and if you see what's going on, the anti-Semitism is blooming. And we are almost physically under attack. No, we are physically under attack. So we need prayer so, so very much. And that's why, thank you for having me, Pastor Dave. I'm just so blessed that you're here. I don't know why you came, but thank you for being here. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for allowing us to meet in this world at this time and speak about things which are on your heart, because we know Israel has always been and will always be on your heart. Thank you and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. So the question goes like, yeah, she doesn't look.
Next slide.
Yes, I cannot see next slide of it. The question is, what is going on in this world? And is it something unique? Because, you know, since Holocaust, there was this phrase, never again. We have to, we know this phrase, never say never, right? Never say never, because it may happen again. And even the wisest man in the world, Solomon, always said, don't say there is something new. So let's dig into the roots, in the roots of anti-Semitism. And why Israel is under attack and United Nations attacked or made so many laws against Israel, about three times more than against the whole world. Can you imagine? So let's do the next. So when did modern anti-Semitism begin? Did you ever think about why is Israel under attack more than any other nation, and what is the origin of this hate? Good. Look, in the Genesis chapter 3, God speaks to Eve, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Genesis 3:15. Interesting chapter. What is the seed? Who is the seed of a woman? We know for sure. Did they understand that? At that time, they didn't. But the serpent knew that he has to kill all the descendants of Eve. What if he is the one? So we can see this beautiful, I like this picture, by the way, I don't know about you. But I really like this picture. And the seed of the serpent is very clear, and the seed of a woman is Jesus Christ. And just a side thought, remember God said he will bruise your head, and remember the book of Revelation, one of the heads of the serpent or of the evil one was healed. So just a hint, I'm not going to speak about this. Next one, please. In Genesis 12, in the same book of Genesis, now we see the choice or the election of Abraham. And God appointed him to be the first believer and the first Jew. Is interesting, because he was not Jewish before he believed. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So the question is, who wants to bless Israel and the descendants of Abraham? Who is blessing?
God.
God, absolutely. Who wants to curse? Yes, there is no middle ground. It's black and white. God and Satan. There is nothing, you cannot be indifferent. Oh, it doesn't have to do with me. Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. Yes, it does, if you're a believer. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, we read, the Lord did not set his love on your, you, nor chose you because you were the most, more in number than any other people. For you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your forefathers. The Lord brought you out of a mighty, by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So here we see that God reminds Israel, I love you, I chose you, I redeemed you. To each believer in the world, as he calls himself a Christian, God reminds me, I chose you, I redeemed you out of the slavery to what? To sin, absolutely. So God didn't choose Israel because Israel was better, absolutely not. So Zechariah is a very prominent prophet who has so many amazing prophecies. For thus says the Lord of hosts, he who touches you, meaning Israel, touches what? The apple of your eye. Can you touch the apple of your eye? You know, when my children were learning to speak like tiny babies, she would say, I, and do this. I said, don't do that. You cannot say I and poke your eye, because the eye is, you can do ear, you can do nose, right? The little ones, like show the finger, but not the eye. The eye is something you never touch. So Israel is the eye of the Lord. Next, look at the eye. Do you see it? Mm-hmm. This is the apple of God's eye. Red in the midst of green. All the greens are Arab countries. So if you don't see well, let's look at the next slide. We will see a little better. So this blue slip or sliver of land is Israel. The length is about 380 kilometers. In the widest part, it is 60. In the narrowest, 30. With modern military machine, you can just shoot right through and destroy. Why is Israel not destroyed? Let's do the next. Because Israel is God's people. And this is the territory of Israel, which God himself promised to Abraham and his descendants. From the river to the sea, we hear. From the river to the sea is the promise of God. Exodus chapter 23, verse 31. I will set your border from the Sea of Reeds, or the Red Sea, to the Sea of the Philistines, and from the wilderness to the Euphrates River, from the sea to the river. This is God's promise. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you are to drive them out before you. So what is going on today is something of biblical proportions, and I'm not talking about it today. So let's look at some anti-Semitic acts. The Egyptian, it's a very dark slide. I didn't want to make it light, I should. So these are the little babies. If we turn off the light, maybe it will be better. I don't know. Thank you so much. Yeah. So the little babies, baby boys, thrown into the Nile River. Do you see? And the crocodiles are waiting to consume them. This is one of the acts of anti-Semitism in Egypt when the children of Israel were in slavery. So it's a biblical one. The next one, we look at, do you know who this is? Queen Esther, right. And when the Xerxes, the king, promoted Haman, he wanted to do what? To kill, yes, to annihilate all the Jews in the, how many provinces? 128 provinces was his kingdom. How many provinces do we have? One of the largest countries of the world, right? Can you imagine the size of that country? It was unbelievable size, and there are many Jewish people everywhere, and he wanted to destroy them all. But Esther said, what did she say? I will go to the king, and if I perish, I perish. Brave woman. Next one. The anti-Semitism was continuing through the centuries, more and more. And Jewish people were accused first of killing Jesus, the Son of God. And this map shows where and when Jewish people were expelled and how they had to move and where to move and how many people moved. Acts chapter 18, verse 2. It's about the life of Apostle Paul, yeah. There he met a Jew named Aquila, with his native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. When was it? First century. When we are, we live in the 21st century, 20 centuries ago. Unbelievable, right? And there we go. So what did they do? They were tent makers, right? Since then we have this nickname for the missionaries, tent makers. Okay, let's go further. In Matthew 24, oh, it's not the whole slide, but that's okay. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of? Absolutely. So why do people hate Israel? Because of? Absolutely. And this is there a reason to love Israel apart from God? No. Apart from God, there is no reason. Is there a reason to love Israel because of God? Absolutely, yes. And to pray for Israel and wish good. And sometimes we think, what can I do? Remember in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, when there is a list of people of faith, remember Lot is mentioned. Remember? Who was Lot? The nephew of Abraham. What did he want? He wanted to separate. He separated. Abraham told him, choose any land you see. He said, I want near the Jordan River because the pastures are better there. Go. He went and pinned his tents near Sodom. Flip a few pages. Where does he live? In Sodom. Who is he married to? A Sodomite woman. What is his life? A disaster. What does the book of Hebrews say? A righteous man was suffering in his righteous soul. Here, if we are in this, well, let's see, remote area. You're not offended, yes? Not because I'm from Toronto. Yeah, it is a beautiful, seriously, I think, like, oh, what a blessing to live here. When people live anywhere, in any part of the world, in their soul, in their heart, they carry the righteous attitude to things which are very important for God. You will be called righteous by God just because of your soul, because of your love, because of your prayers. Let's go next. So there was this movement in 1922. Can you believe that it's 100 years plus? And there was a movement which called Zionism, coming from the word Zion, the mountain Zion, which they tried or they worked to return the land to people. Because we know that Abraham's covenant has three parts, the land, the people, and the king. So the Zionist movement was fulfilling the second promise. We only miss one more to fulfill, right? The king is coming. He's coming to pick us soon for a very interesting ride. Okay, I'll go to the next slide. In 1948, the state of Israel was established. And here we see the fulfillment of Isaiah 66, verse 8. Who has ever heard of such things? Who has ever seen things like this? Can a country be born in a day, or a nation be brought forth in a moment? Yet no sooner is Zion in labor than she gives birth to her children. And at that time, 1948, 70% of people were born outside of Israel. Today, we have 70% of people born inside Israel. It's one of the youngest nations in the world. If you see their churches, it's unbelievable. People from 90 to 19, like on fire all together. They don't divide like youth group, old elderly group. No, 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 everybody's together. I was speaking to women's group there. I've been to Israel 7 times. And I was so blessed because when a granddaughter rolls a wheelchair with grandmother to the women's conference or a seminar, it's so beautiful to see. They don't have age division, which I like. So this is the newspaper, which is called the Palestinian Post. At that time, it was posting that the state of Israel is born. Can you believe it's a newspaper? Newspaper which declares the fulfillment of the prophecy. Amazing. So let's skip a couple more and go to the chart. Look. This chart is amazing. It was difficult to find because they were all unprintable, uncopyable, whatever. The history of the conflict in the Middle East. What is going on? You can see that there's a long list. The first column is here. The second, the name of the country which attacked Israel, and all the flags of those countries which attacked Israel, and the last but one, who was attacked. And you see the flag of Israel. Israel never attacked anyone first, so Israel was attacked. And the very last one is who won. And you see Israel, 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 Israel. Is there any logic in it? Is there any logic? Like when in the newspaper which we saw before, 14th of May, the country is proclaimed to be born. In the next few days, five countries attack. Is there any reason for Israel to survive apart from God? It's a miracle. And you know, the first prime minister of Israel, Golda Meir, said, for us in Israel to be a realist, you must believe in miracles. Because it's a miracle country, right? So the last line, 2023, Israel-Hamas war. Israel was attacked in the last very last box. Guess who will win, right? Let's go on. Since October 7, Israel has been at war and again attacked by Arab neighbors. However, each time, God is protecting his people. What is our part in the, what is our role in this? The role of Christians. It's interesting. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. Psalm 122, verses 6 and 7. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It is a command. It's not like, would you please pray for Israel and Jerusalem? No, it's pray for the peace of Israel. I'm moving faster. Psalm 122, verse 8. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be within you. So when you don't know how to pray for your family, how to pray for your friends, what do you pray? Shalom Yerushalayim. We'll learn a song, by the way, by the end of my presentation. Keep going, please. Yes. So the study found that since 7th of October, 2023, 3.5 million American Jews were attacked. 3.5 million attacks. So anti-Semitism is on the rise. You are the force who can stand against it. Mm-hmm. Let's go on. Isaiah 62, verses 1 and 2. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not keep quiet until her righteousness goes forth like brightness and her salvation like a torch that is burning. The nations will see your righteousness and all kings your glory, and you will be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord will designate. Isn't it beautiful? It has not been fulfilled yet. Now the next Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 35 and 36. This is what the Lord says. He who appoints the sun to shine by day, he who decrees the moon and stars to shine by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, the Lord Almighty is his name. Only if these decrees vanish from my sight, declares the Lord, will Israel ever cease being a nation before me. So this is amazing. Amen and amen. And the next one. This is what the Lord says. Only if the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth below be searched out will I reject all the descendants of Israel because of all they have done, declares the Lord. Have they done a lot of wrong? Yes. Yes, 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 and yes. Just like unfaithful wife. But God says, no, I'm still faithful. Isn't it amazing? We have amazing God. Next, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Next one, Romans 11:25, for I don't want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, and he will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them, when I take away their sins. Again, who is taking away the sins? There's only one who can. Raise your voice for Israel. Take off the cover of silence and pray next. Pray for Israel. Because, are you ready to pray for Israel? Say yes. I cannot move, right? I cannot move? I will not move. There is a very, very simple song which I want you to learn. It's so simple. Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. It means pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So let's say shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.
Yerushalayim.
Good, Yerushalayim.
Yerushalayim.
Once again, and we sing. Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. Louder. Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. Shalom, shalom. Shalom, shalom. Shalom, shalom. Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. Now in English. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall live in peace. Thank you so much, and God bless you. We need your prayers.